Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, hello. This is Lorna Owens. I am the host of Footprints Foundation, Footprints Foundation Radio, which is the radio program for Footprints Foundation. Footprints Foundation works around the world to reduce maternal and infant mortality, particularly in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Ethiopia, Jamaica, and right here in the USA, in an area we call the Deep South, which covers Naranja, Homestead, and Florida City. But I want to say a big, big hello and welcome to our listeners around the world. Particularly, I want to make mention of our folks listening in Somaliland. Yeah, there's some people in Somaliland listening at the Edna Adam University Hostel. They're listening to us now. I want to say hello. We had the distinct pleasure in meeting them last year when we were at that facility. And we just want to thank them for the work they do for mothers and babies there. Thank you for giving great anesthesia. Thank you for, you know, the teaching and that goes on there. And also to a lot of the women, the students I met there who follow us on Facebook. Hello, hello, hello to you. Hello also to my folks in the UK. You do great work as well. And I know because we have a very special guest on today. We'll tell you about her momentarily, but I know the Vinci people, hello to all the lovely, lovely people in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Karen Hines is coming again with her conference, I believe, in April, so you all come out and support her as you did last year when I was there, and I know, again, she does amazing work, and it's going to be a sold-out conference. All right, but I want to tell you who our guest is today. Our guest is Roseanne Small Morgan, born and raised in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, host, columnist, wife, mother, advocate, but she has an amazing book called Situation Zane, Autism, Who Knew? And I met Roxanne last year on a flight over, a delayed flight to St. Vincent of the Grenadines, and we picked up a conversation and become great friends since then. And just so that you know, she is going to be coming to our Literary Jazz Brunch March 28 from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. right here in Miami at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. And so you all need to go get your tickets at footprints-foundation.org. Roseanne will be one of the many, many folks there. Why am I calling her Roxanne? Because Roxanne is our jazz person that's going to be performing. Roseanne, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Lorna. It's a pleasure being on with you.
Right. Of course, you know, we are excited that you're coming this way. Not only, you know, not just to talk about your book, it's an amazing book, but it's also to bring this amazing awareness to the thing called autism. We have time, so let's talk a little bit. Tell me a little about who you are. Where did you come from? You know, I intimated that you were from St. Vincent and the Grenadines, but
yes,
there must be more to that than that.
Just a smidgen. Yeah, really, it's such a journey that I'm on, but I'm a proud Vincentian. Grew up there for the first 18 years of my life and then migrated to the U.S., came here, went to college, you know, did the whole thing. Funnily enough, kept in that trend where I graduated with a degree in fine and performing arts with a little interest in communication.
Okay.
But, you know, went along my life, met my husband in college, Donald Christopher, we call him Christopher, and, you know, life happened. You know, I had a daughter, Zoe, and she's 23, did well, you know, and a very easy child. And the reason why I'm kind of starting off like that is that, you know, if you're never in the life of autism and, you know, you're going along your way, you hear about it and you think, well, that's, you know, a challenge, but it doesn't affect you directly. So 10 years later, we are blessed with Zane. And
okay.
Oh my.
Oh my. Oh my.
So,
okay.
I think from day one, Zane has been his own person. But I want to let your followers know that, and your listeners, that the thing about autism, it can, you know, show itself up in so many different forms. Because Zane was a healthy And in fact, he developed quite. And if you hear any screaming in the background, that would be
Zane. That would be Zane saying
before.
Hello to us.
Yes. That's well. Let's go with that. Sure, let's go with that. So,
okay.
He developed. In fact, he was quite, you know, early in everything. He walked early. He even talked around 9 months old. So he would say things like mommy, daddy, doggy, roof, roof, you know, everything. And walking at 8 months old and really a rambunctious kind of child. In fact, kind of a little too rambunctious. But again, I'm his mother, so I kind of had to put a blind eye to that. However, later on, like a few months later, unfortunately, and that's just my opinion, you know, there's a big debate about that, but he had his MMR shot, and as I call it, the MMR, I should say, is the measles, mumps, rubella shot, for those who don't understand what the MMR is. And then I call it the veil went over his eyes, and he just shut down and stopped talking. Like, there was no interaction, no communication. Minimal communication, I should say. So, and that wasn't, you know, in keeping with who he was. And for mothers listening, you know, you should keep in mind when your gut starts talking to you, you're normally on the right track. So this is something that, you know, we should always remember when we hear things like that.
Okay, hold on. I thought you were listening. Hold on a minute. You're listening to Roseanne Small Morgan. She is the author, the mom for Zane, that will most likely be visiting us in the background. And she has a book all called Situation Zane, Autism, Who Knew? Now, let me just dial back a little bit, because I was actually quite surprised that you had started saying he was talking normally and everything like that, because everything I have read, when they talk about the symptoms and the signs of autism, says your child doesn't talk, he doesn't doodle, doesn't say mama, doesn't repeat words of his own, and so that is some of the signs and symptoms. But you're saying that your child, that's not how it happened.
Right, and that is why it's so important to know that it's autism is, you know, a vast spectrum, and it could manifest itself in different forms, you know, that there are many mothers out there like me who gave birth to a baby who seemingly was on track, you know, or even advanced. And it's unfortunate that a lot of times when the questions come up as to why can this happen, because you're correct in saying you would think that, you know, the child started off this way. And most times they don't. They start off, you know, doing the regular things. And some children may, you know, regress earlier, and where they may not be sitting down or doing those benchmark things at certain months. But there are other children, I've heard about children at 2 and 3 who would just completely just, you know, they were fine, they spoke, they interacted,
right,
and then they stopped. So it's really important to recognize, because everything is always early intervention. That's really what we have to push, the educating ourselves as parents and becoming advocates and early intervention.
So let's go back a little bit, because this is really fascinating to me, and I know there are lots of people who are on Facebook saying that they're listening. And I also want to say that if at about 20 past, we're going to take a couple calls. So have your calls. It's not to say hello to Roseanne. I know you love her, but it's to ask a question, and the number would be 646-378-0321. We rarely do this, but I think that it is really so important. So after he got the shot, because that is your story, and you started seeing a difference in behavior, what did you think had happened to him?
Well, I was initially kind of stunned, because I remember I actually have a picture, a physical picture of the day that I knew something was wrong, and I always look at it. And I was kind of just basically confused. I'm not at all lost fully about special needs, and I'm going to use the word. I've had the privilege of having family members, one who has Down syndrome and who is quite advanced, and he speaks more than one language and is quite independent. I have another cousin who also had some special needs as well. So, and we were always taught as children that there was nothing different than, you know, we were all the same and we were all given the same sort of chores and responsibilities. So that was a blessing for me. I spoke to my husband when I saw these changes in Zane, and I said, you know, we should ask the doctor. And we did. And the other thing I should stress is that not all pediatricians are trained in the area of autism to detect the signs. I think they're becoming a little bit more proactive now, but 13 years ago, they definitely were not on board. As especially, I think his pediatrician was actually in love with Zane because he was so cute and, as again, really a troublesome little boy. And she's like, no, no, I think we should wait, da-da-da. And I kept saying no. And then so my husband, because my daughter also had a speech delay, and she had speech pathology at 4, and he thought it might have been the same thing. But it did not seem the same because she was very social and still would kind of talk, not as clearly, but she would give you eye contact, listen to, you know, what you said, follow directions and stuff, and he was not. So for, unfortunately, we missed a good year and a half to 2 years in Zane's life because people did not think he was autistic. So by the time we went to have him screened and tested, and I really do give thanks to people at the Salvation Army Daycare, especially the late Reverend Patricia Massey, Virginia Huff, and Mrs. Hunter for, I have to call these people's names, who sat me down and said, Mommy, you have to go and check. And they just reinforced what my gut was telling me all along. And they did, in fact, do these tests, and we found out that he was, in fact, autistic.
Was it a relief that you had a diagnosis, or was it despair or shock? Let's relive those emotions.
For me, it was different for both of us, because throughout this whole journey, Chris and I have always walked this journey together. So for me, it was, I knew it. You know what I'm saying? So I was already in my head a year and a half or 2 years before knowing something was wrong. And for Chris, it was initially devastating, you know, because now for him, how does his son survive in this world? But the awesome thing about Chris and I think and us as a team is that we don't sit back. It was, okay, on to the next. What do we do next? So we went ahead and found him a pediatric neurologist. Not to disrespect anyone, but, you know, she was an expert in her field. In fact, I think she taught other people, but she didn't have the best bedside manner, so to speak.
That's
so you had to fight, right? We had to fight that as well. And when people tell you things such as, well, you should just teach him life skills and put him in a home, you know, those are the ignorances that you fight, even in the medical community as well. So, you know, it's, again, I keep using the word journey. Trust me, it's like a journey uphill every day fighting someone.
Oh, that's hard. We're listening to Roseanne Small-Morgan, and she's the author of Situation Zane, Autism, Who Knew? She's coming to our Literary Jazz Brunch March 28 at the Ritz-Carlton, and she will be among four other best-selling authors, such as Ellen Brazier. You heard her last time. Her book is called So It Is Written. Patricia Harmon, one of her many books, The Reluctant Midwife, and she's also the author of Hope River. It's a novel, and you guys love it. You made it a bestseller. She'll be coming. Lisa Green, who is an attorney and legal analyst. You see her on MSNBC. She's coming. She has a book called On Your Case, A Comprehensive, Compassionate Legal Guide for Every Stage of a Woman's Life. And believe you me, that is so, so, so important. Last but not least, It's Not Rocket Science by Mary Spiho, from Ghana to Boeing to NASA. So, and you're not just going to be hearing them. You're going to have a full, full brunch. And if you've ever been to the brunch at the Ritz-Carlton in Coconut Grove or any of the Ritz-Carltons, you know it is beyond spectacular. And live jazz by Sony recording artist Roxana Med. She's Argentinian. And let me tell you, I've heard her perform. You're in, it's not just a little performance per se. It's a mini concert. We are celebrating Women's History Month, so we're bringing, and it's the end of it, so it's like the big grand finale. So please do come wherever you are, and in South Florida, come on down. You must call the schools around and let them know that Roxanne is going to be here. You must call the Autism Association of South Florida and let them know that she is going to be here, because she'll be sharing wisdom. Somebody's going to be helped by her conversation, and we'll have resources that will remind people that they do have. And if you have a friend who says, I want to come, but I don't have all the money, and you can't come, well, you know, pay half. That's what we're saying. We're saying pay half. So back to you. You're at the point where you have a diagnosis, but you're saying that all persons in the medical field, even though they're good in their specialization, is might not be right for dealing
right.
with a child like Zane
right.
or any autistic mm-hmm. child, and that can be hard on a parent. So how did you navigate those complexities?
Well, it's one of the reasons why I had to eventually, and I'm just skipping forward to go backwards, write the book, and now, and I'll mention it as well, form this nonprofit organization that I formed, Autism Who Knew, is that it was complex to navigate getting help for your child in America and New York, of all places,
right.
which really has some of the best services in the world, okay? Not even the U.S. I mean, it's not forthcoming to people who are there to find out, how do I go about getting medical help, such as speech therapy, you know, as I said, he got a neurologist. Then we had to go to, for example, the school district. That's how we did it, where he had an IEP report. Basically, he was...
What is that IEP report for people
right.
who don't know?
Of course. An IEP report is an individualized education program, and this is to provide a child with delayed skills or disabilities. It helps set goals for the child and details any special supports that they will need in order to achieve their goals. So whatever their deficits may be, that is what you know, that IEP report does. So when you go and present it to different schools, because we went, okay, for example, we went to the school district. He had his diagnosis of being autistic. So now our school district was going to pay for his education, because he could not be mainstreamed at that point. So you're looking at a child who's about 3.5, 4, a little over 4. And so now we're looking at schools. And you're hearing from, you know, different sources, grassroots, oh, this school is good and that school is good and whatever. But also the IEP report may not capture everything about the child, because Zane is, and I may not have mentioned this, is a genius. So he's a genius. He is a computer genius. He is a technical genius. He also is very, very precise in how he is going to execute what he needs to get done. So, you know, you might think he's sitting there not doing anything. Little do you know that he has already gotten into your financials, let's say your credit cards. He has ordered stuff. He's looking for the postman. You don't even know what's hitting you left, right, and center from a day-to-day basis. He's hacking into the neighbor's Wi-Fi, changing their codes.
Because people don't really give us an example, because one of the things that I remembered was him changing the password for a school computer for somebody who was going to discipline him. Run us through that, because I think a lot of people might not understand when you make it so general, the specialness of situation Zane.
Yeah, specialness is the right word. So he was being tested, and a lady from the state came to test him, because I think they test him every year and a half or whatever for progress. So he came into the room, and I think he was about 7 or 8. He saw this lady's laptop, and that's his thing. And he was like, oh, computer, please. And she goes, honey, when I'm done, you can have the computer. So he's like, cool. So he did the test. And that's another thing. He's excellent at puzzles or test-taking, because if it's just him doing it, he's good. And just test-taking in general, because he can read, he can write, he can spell. He's quite intelligent. He Googles, Wikipedias, whatever. So he did it. 1, 2, 3, and he had a goal in mind, because the lady said he can have her computer in a, you know, when he was done. So, boop, he was finished. He turns to her. He says, computer, please. So she goes, absolutely. I go, So now she goes, Mrs. Morgan. Cause now we're in a meeting about this, okay? She said, Mrs. Morgan, yeah. I turned my back to do my reports. And Zane jumped on her computer and wiped off the lady's cookies from her, you know, her desktop, changed all of her passwords, locked her out, just did what he had to do. And she wasn't aware.
God.
So then they came to get him, and she says, Zane, it's been a pleasure. He goes, and he walks out. Later on, she turns, and everything said access denied, because she can't get back into her own computer. Lord have mercy. So now they call help desk. Help desk dials in trying to get through. They have access denied. They can't get through. They had to go and get this child from his classroom, and he restored everything back to its original stance in 6 minutes or so. You understand?
No kidding.
Like 7. He was 7. You know, so these are the things that this child can do. And it's not even, he could change, he has changed people's, like a joke, is that if he gets your iPhone, he changes Siri to an Italian man. He's a buongiorno. And then he starts calling him, your phone starts calling him, buongiorno, Zane. He changes everything. So you don't want to just even blink with him. You know, it's one of those things.
Wow.
He's always thinking, always on his feet. You know, makes movies from scratch, you know, has a lot of followers on YouTube. Some stuff may be inappropriate. I'm not going to lie, but he is who he is. He's his own person.
How do you navigate all of that, though?
Humor. Because if I were to become frustrated every day, and Chris and I laugh a lot, too. So we would say things like, what's up with your son? Do you see what he's doing over there? Are you going to go talk to the boy? You know, like, that's how we communicate, you know, because if we were to yell all the time, nothing would get done. And in fact, because of the humor, we have discovered that he is humorous. Even when he's being inappropriate, I realize that he has a funny sense of human things and timing, which also confused me, because I'm learning that there's many layers to this onion of autism. So it's not just,
right.
and I don't want to glorify that, it's just, you know, that he's brilliant. There are deficits in terms of his behavior. He can be very aggressive. He likes to hit when he's angry. So those are things that we have to learn to redirect him, teach him about keeping his hands to himself, no bad words. And trust me, he's not hearing it from us, but he seems to be proficient. Then he would also have things like, learning how to negotiate, like time. He's very good at, you know, knowing what time is it and stuff, so then you could say, maybe not now, but we can do it in 15 minutes. You know, so you have to learn these tricks.
And he would understand
order.
The concept of not between the difference in a way
oh,
between
absolutely.
Not now
and
15 minutes?
Oh, he actually knows it better than most people because he knows it to the millisecond. He will remind you. You know what I'm saying? So he knows
yes.
time. I'll say, how many more minutes you have? 12 minutes. You know, because he wants what he wants, you know. So it's And those are his strengths, so because it's a deficit, but I turn it into a strength because it's how I could negotiate with him, how I can get him to not be fixated on a certain issue that he would be fixated on, and then we can get him to the next level where we want him to be, or if it's something that he's hurting himself. I mean, for a lot of parents, and this is to the younger mothers who are with younger children, you know, it's frustrating when you have a child that's falling on the ground crying, a child who is screaming, a child who is hitting, and then you're embarrassed because you feel as though you're being judged. You know that you're not alone. A lot
so
of people
you want other parents are looking at you. Why can't you control your kid? Is that
right?
Do you get a lot of that?
Not really, because I am then focused on Zane. I'm pretty sure. Let me say this, Lorna. I think autism is becoming more and more mainstream because now 1 in 68 children are now diagnosed with autism. So it's out there more and more, and people are then beginning to realize that kid has a quirk, so maybe he's one of them. They may not be appropriate in what they're saying, but they're recognizing, okay, this child, I'll give you an example. We went to California a few weeks ago, about a month ago, and we're coming on the tram to get to to the terminal, and he's so
right.
excited, he's blurting out everything that no traveler wants to hear. For example, he's saying, you think there's a terrorist on the plane? Do you think
oh, no.
That, yes, I swear. Do you think that I'm going to, like just stuff, like jittery stuff. But he's excited because he travels quite a bit. But he knows it's inappropriate. So then I look at him, I go, hello? Are we supposed to? He said, no, we're not supposed to be talking about that because he knows what it is, right?
Yeah.
Ironically, there was a flight attendant sitting on the tram as well, going to the same terminal. But who knew that in this big airport, she was going to be our flight attendant? So when we got on the plane, we saw her. And she goes, oh, here comes my friend. Because she had seen him and saw us trying to, you know, get him to calm down, you know.
Right.
So she then took it upon herself and told all of her crew members, cause I think she was a senior flight attendant, on that trip, and said, you know, this is the family, you know, cater to them, don't worry about, you know, that sort of thing, which
yes,
helps
yeah, because that could be certainly problematic.
Absolutely, absolutely, because it's his conversation. Then he could say, oh, my God, it's 5 hours already, when are we getting off the plane? You know, he would say stuff, and his indoor voice is not there. And then, you know, you have to say,
yeah.
Hello, no one wants to hear that. You know, he goes, okay. Then you'll go back to something else. So you just kind of have to not make it seem as though it's so big that when you're talking to him, you know, it's a conversation, redirecting him, and then giving him another chore or task to do. So these are, you know, the day-to-day challenges that we have.
Do you think he'll have independent living status? Do you think so?
I personally, that's what our goal. He more than likely would live in a group home. As an adult, I'm going to be honest, but a group home where he would work and have some sort of independence in terms of going to a daily routine. Everyone tells me I need to put him in a program for, like, the computers and stuff like that because he's so good at it. I mean, he can build a computer and things like that. So I am hoping because of his skill set and the fact that he can script, like, dialogues and stuff for movies and stuff, he has a gift that in this era and time of technology that he would be able to be in that sweet spot where he would have some sort of future. Obviously, Chris and I have to set up his future in terms of people who we would deem, you know, good well, advocates for him if, you know, if and when we're not here, you know.
Right,
his sister
right.
is here as well. So, and that's another thing in terms of siblings. I always tell her, you know, he is not your responsibility in terms of if you get married, I don't want you to feel that you have to take this person into your home. And when I say this person, I know it's her brother, but, you know, it's a reality that we have to deal with. However, I need you to be his voice. I need you to stand up for him when, you know, he needs you. That is what, to me, a job of a sibling is. You know, it's that you are always going to have that person's back. Even if he didn't have autism, you should have each other's back anyway. So, you know, these
okay.
are the things that...
Okay, yeah, I tell you, we're out of time, but we have a few more
okay.
minutes to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
What does it take when you come in the next couple of weeks, in March 28th,
right.
what do you want us in South Florida to take away, and how are you going to rock and roll when you come here?
Well, I want, you know... I first of all, I'm so pleased and honored that you invited me. Thank you so very much. It's such an honor, and we're looking forward to it. The whole family's coming, including Zing.
Wonderful.
I want you know, your audience to take away that autism is now something that we all are affected by. It may not be directly, but we know someone who has this in their families, and they're struggling with it. And if the struggle is real, you know, become a friend, a mentor, or even someone just as a supportive listening ear. I also want the mothers out there to know they're not alone, and there are resources out there, and that is why we are about to launch our own nonprofit, where we're going to be doing support groups and conferences
right.
this year. So you're not alone, and please do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed, because, you know, this child was meant to be here, and is meant to be here. I don't think Zane is a mistake at all. I think he's actually my blessing, because I'm learning things that I would have never have learned on a normal journey, so to speak, you know. So, again, I look forward to, you know, sharing the message that, you know, we are in this together. We can really help each other as a community. And autism, who knew? It can't affect anyone, but it's not a sentence of they can't succeed.
All right. We want to thank, what amazing, we've run through the time so very, very quickly. I do need for you to come to the Literary Jazz Brunch, and our website is footprints-foundation.org. That's footprints-foundation.org. If you're going to come, you need to get your tickets so that we can appropriately prepare for you. I want to thank all our listeners around the world from Somaliland. I know people are listening in Canada, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, the UK, and right here in the United States. What a blessing we learn from Zane. And I want to thank our sponsors, Desert Sage, 100% Soy Candle. You can purchase Desert Sage Candle by wherever you go. Email sales@desert-sage.co, or you just email me at Lorna Owens, footprints at Lorna Owens. No, it's not Lorna Owens. It's Lorna at footprints-foundation.org. That's Lorna at footprints-foundation.org. And we'll direct you to getting your fabulous Desert Sage. It covers a wide array of fragrances out of Africa, Suedo Jazz, Blue Nile for Ethiopia, you know, the savannas for Kenya, Simply Lemongrass for Congo, Mango Guava, Jamaica, and Ethiopian Rose. So all of that we have for you. We'll also have that at our Literary Jazz Brunch. But want to thank Roseanne for being here, and until next week, same place, same time, be good. I guess the next time we see you, Roseanne, will be in Miami. And
absolutely.
Tell Zane I look forward to seeing him. He has to come give me a big hug.
Yes. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Thank you so very much for having me, Lorna. Have a great
okay,
day.
Look, let's
thank
see.
You, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.